3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to your participation, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about a subject that we wanted to get into on the previous broadcast. Time did not allow us to do so. We're talking about government censorship. Government censorship. Let me just give you a good example. What is Easter about? It's about the resurrection of Christ. By the way, Easter is not about an Easter bunny. It's not about Easter egg hunt. It's not about decorating eggs. I don't know how eggs and the Easter bunny ever came in the picture of Easter. But nevertheless, look at the headline, religious themes banned in Joe Biden's White House Easter egg contest. Says the event is meant for children of National Guard members. Joe Biden is sponsoring a White House youth art Easter egg decorating contest for children of the National Guard service members, but bans religious themed eggs, even though Easter is a religious holiday that celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the contest announcement states the eggs will be displayed during the Christian and Jewish observations of Easter and Passover. Now, here's the kicker. The youth artists are encouraged to submit designs that reflect their daily lives as children of service members, but may not feature any religious symbols, overly religious themes, cross, etc., etc. The contest rule states entries must be consistent with the image and values of the sponsor, comma, Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, Easter is about the resurrection of Christ. So it would need, if it is properly looked at, it would have religious symbols. It would have religious themes. But no. They're wanting to have an Easter egg contest decorating Easter eggs for the White House. But ladies and gentlemen, there's the censorship of what you can put on that egg. Now you might say, well, that's a little simplistic. That's inconsequential. That's something that has no teeth in it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the latest in just a little small symbol, a little small illustration of the promulgating effect of censorship from the federal, state, national levels of government. Censorship. Now listen very carefully. Do you have anything to hide? You might say no. You have anything that you would not want plastered on a billboard out in front of your house? Maybe. There are a lot of people today that say that we shouldn't be worried about censorship, shouldn't be worried about the government intrusion. We should not be concerned about the Fourth Amendment being absolutely eviscerated. We should not be concerned about the new woke term hate speech. Because after all, as some have said, if you don't have anything to hide, you shouldn't be worried about government censorship. Ladies and gentlemen, that's ill-spoken. That is something that is anemic in its understanding of what is taking place. So today on the broadcast, we're going to talk about government censorship, what it is, what it isn't, what we need to do, should we be concerned. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The truth book, John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117:2, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That should cause us to rejoice in the recognition that regardless of what the government does with truth, regardless of what society says about truth, truth still prevails. In fact, it is the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." You can just look around, ask questions. If you were to say, God created only two genders among some audiences, you would be giving hate speech. If you were to say that God did not ordain the murder by way of abortion, you'd be viewed as having hate speech. That's what we see today. This is the reason I believe it's so relevant with the secularist George Orwell saying, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that today being the prevalent thought. It was former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, DeMint says this: "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogant self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." The younger Americans today, ladies and gentlemen, are simply too flippant when it comes to the term of truth. There's a mindset among the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, there's a mindset that they say is this, based on the latest survey, they say each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. If I might use a spin on the term, it is not true. A half-truth's a whole lie. I understand that there will be a pro-Palestinian march or demonstration right here in our city this evening. They're marching and demonstrating for a lie. They can have all the excuses they want to. It's still a lie. And I believe it's going to bode harm for our city by allowing it to take place. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And he believed that, taught that, stood for that. And while he was burning at the stake, his last words, screaming from the stake where he was being burned to death, says, "Truth shall prevail." And may I tell you today, truth shall prevail. Unfortunately for many, it'll prevail when it's too late to reverse gears and change. But ladies and gentlemen, nevertheless, we need to stand for truth. Love it, live it, tell it, be willing to defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole. U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application of employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after I do a brief concluding monologue, we'll start taking our callers. We're talking about today government censorship. The question we have today is, what's enough information for the government? When do they stop getting information? When does government stop seeking to get more and more information about every person's life, habits, etc., etc.? In today's America, ladies and gentlemen, we've been asked for more and more and more personal information about our lives. We're faced with the monitors, the cameras, the information forms, and a barrage of other invasive measures today we're being faced with. Being all of this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, being fed into the governmental ID system. For example, take your health care. If you go to your doctor, they want facial recognition, many of them. In fact, I was recently in a doctor's office, and after they handed me the little form, up at the top left of the form, it had my picture that had just been taken while I was standing at the counter answering questions. Then they wanted the palm print identification. I said, I don't do that. Refuse to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize when they do that, do what? Taking your photograph without your knowledge while standing there talking. That's an invasion of your Fourth Amendment rights. Most are not aware of our Fourth Amendment rights. It's an invasion. Fourth Amendment says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects, against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I don't know about you, but I take our Bill of Rights seriously. God's given it to us through our founding documents with the founding fathers based on their belief of what God would have us to do and be as a people. But ladies and gentlemen, you go to the hospital, you ask for the palm print, you ask for many, many things in relationship to personal identification. Listen, I don't care if you go to the doctor, the hospital, three times a week. It's fed into the same system, and you're asked those same questions. But each time, if you will notice, I don't know, when you go to an emergency care center, when you go to the doctor's office, now they've got it on the handheld device, and they ask all kinds of invasive personal questions. Most people simply answer them. And all of that documented data is fed into a system about the personal identification of who you are. And it's all put together to determine for the future what should be done and how you should be treated. Listen, this is not conspiracy theory. This is real. This is happening today. Even to the point, as I said, to be photographed while standing at the counter being checked in. Medical forms are now asking you, were you born male or female? Did you know that? Were you born male or female? Or how long have you been male or female? Those questions, ladies and gentlemen, are censorship questions. It's designed to trace, track, and determine who we are, what we're doing, where we're going. Now I'm going to read you a brief portion of an article, then we'll take our first caller. Here's an article. Title of the article, A Legacy of Censorship, How Communist Concepts Have Led to Suppression of All Christian Views. It's on page 18 of Decision Magazine, and I believe it is relevant for today. It says, around the world, Christians are facing a level of hostility not seen in decades. And although the Bible teaches that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, 2 Timothy 3:12, Christians in the Western nations are still getting used to a new reality in which biblical beliefs are suppressed. Believers lose their job for expressing biblical truths, and some may even land in prison simply for their faith. Paul Coleman, this article says, executive director of Alliance Defending Freedom, is intimately familiar with these kinds of cases. The Christian Legal Ministry has engaged with cases in 104 countries, racking up 1,500 wins since 2010. The cases just keep coming. Quote, there's a quote by Charles Chaput that comes to mind, Coleman said. Evil preaches tolerance until it dominates, then it tries to silence good, end quote. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if I can clarify that for our thinking, the quote was a very, very good quote that let me add to it, the woke progressive left will preach tolerance until tolerance, what they're wanting you to tolerate, dominates, and then it tries to silence what you or I may say. That has taken place with the LGBTQI plus sodomite agenda. At one time, in the early 70s, they were saying they just wanted to be the LGBTQ sodomite community, just wanted to be able to be left alone, to be able to live without any intimidation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they have gained, even though it's still less than 4% on a national level, they've gained prominence, position. They control many, if not, one writer said, about 98% of the laws being promulgated through local, state, and national government. But yet, what we say as conservative Christians now is not to be tolerated by the perverted left. Ladies and gentlemen, our words, what we say and what we do today, are being censored by the federal government more than you'd ever believe possible. This writer says, and I'm going back to the statement in Decision Magazine, hate is whatever those in power say that it is. Traditional Christian beliefs about marriage, human sexuality, and the sanctity of life have all been censored on the basis that they are hateful. You say something that the left doesn't like. You say something that the loose likes lost liberals disagree with. We as Christians are not, quote, tolerated. We then are censored because we're accused of preaching and teaching and saying hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we go back to Psalms 11:3, when the foundations, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're watching the fundamental erosion of our central biblicist foundations that I think is very, very clear today as it takes place. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question. Comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I just had a couple of comments to say. And I wanted to know, number one, I wanted to know if the government cannot protect the state, cannot a state protect itself?
Absolutely. It's called state rights. But under the Biden administration, there's no such thing as state rights. The only apparatus in government, the only individual in government, the only position of government would be through the Biden's executive orders and the fiat dictatorial carrying out of those orders, and everything else falls into the wastebasket. Right now, for example, you're probably thinking about the battle with the DOJ, which is a set of thugs with badges, puppets for the Biden administration. They're prosecuting the governor of the state of Texas. The Supreme Court, in fact, just ruled 5-4, giving the Biden administration the authority to send in the Border Patrol and to cut the wire, raise the wire, destroy the border that the Texas governor had installed. So that goes back to the mindset that today, if you're conservative, if you're Christian, if you're a patriot, we have no value in society. If you're a state that wants to do what is right and follow the Constitution, you have no rights. And we're finding the erosion on a very fast-track, rapid basis of our First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and of our Second Amendment rights, the freedom to keep and bear arms, and Fourth Amendment rights in particular, the right to having privacy without the intervention and the peeping Tom of the federal government.
Yes, sir. And like you said, not being redundant, but like my cousin was telling you, my brother in law, should I say it like that, telling me about the free Obama phones. And I asked him, I said, when have you ever known the government to give you something free? There's something behind it. And one more thing. We are turning into China. Like you were saying about the surveillance of America now, it is coming full-fledged.
Mm-hmm.
This administration, he needs to be charged, really. But we got spineless Republicans.
We got spineless Republicans. Mm-hmm. We've got simple puppets that have this socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM, Democratic Party, total socialist today. And the thing is, Kenneth, that concerns me gravely is the fact that we're rapidly approaching the November election. And if we conservatives do not win this election, may I say boldly, it will be the last election that a free nation will ever have. If we do not win it, we have lost America. That's how focused I am, concerned I am with this election and where we're going. Most are not aware of the fact, Kenneth, that in 2020, according to the research, about 40 million professing Christians did not vote. If that takes place this election cycle, we can kiss America, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, all of our freedoms, we can kiss them goodbye. We'll be stepping into a totally new era, a totally new America, a totally different nation than we've known for about almost 250 years now. So it deserves the prayer, consideration, and the activity of every Christian. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, I'm voting, and people are starting to wake up. That's why Trump is so ahead of everybody else. You got Nikki Haley, that's it.
Tell me something, just as a exit question. Who's going to win the New Hampshire race?
Trump.
I have said I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I believe Trump will win New Hampshire by about a 20-point lead. I believe he'll trounce Nikki Haley. And Nikki Haley is bought and paid for by the large corporate entity. She's bought and paid for by the globalist. She will not make any difference. It will be as though you've got a female Joe Biden in office if she were to be elected in some fashion. And yet there are a lot of people today that thinking, well, I want a woman for president. Well, I don't care whether it's a woman or a man, but we're looking for one that can do the job. And I don't think Nikki Haley can. That's just my opinion, my little 2 cents worth. But we need to keep praying.
My opinion also. That the young blood, you are so right.
Well, keep praying that God will intervene and put Donald J. Trump back in office. That's our prayer. And I believe that's the only hope for America. Realizing our hope must be in Jesus Christ. Our hope and our confidence and trust must be in the Lord and not in man. But nevertheless, in fact, going back to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, the scripture is very clear. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And I believe we've been in the state of mourning now for almost 4 years. And I believe it's time that we come out of that state of mourning. Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it was a Democrat that said we need the illegal aliens over here because we are declining. Our population is declining. But then a Republican said, yeah, because of abortion. You don't need somebody. My wife is going to say it. And I think he said it also, that within about 20 years, this is not going to be an English-speaking country. It's going to be Spanish-speaking or whatever.
That's right. In fact, the mumbling, stumbling, bumbling Senator Fetterman just now alienated all of the Democratic Party, because Fetterman, with an interview on the Communist Network News, said, what's wrong with closing the border? What's wrong with protecting the people? What's wrong with, and he asked some questions about what's wrong with having a secure border. And that was a surprise to all of the ears of the woke liberals on the left. And so now they, the Democratic Party, they don't necessarily embrace and appreciate Senator Fetterman. But he spoke the truth finally. So may he continue on that track. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back to the article, A Legacy of Censorship, subtitle, How Communist Concepts Have Led to Suppression of All Christian Views. This is in Decision Magazine. The magazine is, I think, a couple of months old, but it goes on to say, this writer says it was the one that is Charles Chaptu. P-U-T, Chuckput, that is with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and he made this statement. He said, in my opinion, the quote neatly summarizes the situation in the West right now. There's a clear rise of global persecution of Christians, Coleman said. In Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, cases often involve blasphemy laws, or laws against religious conversion. Such laws also tend to fuel mob violence against Christians or other religious minorities. A lot of this censorship is now coming with criminal penalties to America. It's not just a case of being canceled, having a social media account frozen, or going into Twitter jail. We're facing real criminal persecution and criminal cases for simply expressing our Christian viewpoint. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what I'm trying to impress upon us today. Ezekiel chapter 33 is very, very clear that we need to be a watchman on the wall. A watchman on the wall simply means when you see danger coming, you warn those following you of the danger ahead so that they can circumvent, prevent going through the dangerous trek that they're on. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be the watchman on the wall. We need to be placing the warning sign out saying, danger, danger, danger. And the danger today, ladies and gentlemen, is total government censorship. Whether it's on a local, state, or national level, censorship is against our Bill of Rights. It's against our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our Fourth Amendment. It is against the freedom that we have of speaking the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville,